Oilers. We're the Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers number one. Yes, we're the Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers number one.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to Battle Red Radio, your home of the undefeated Houston Texans. Today, I'm joined by the Thai god to my Taylor, my good friend Taylor. How are you doing today, man? Look what the back says. You ready?
I don't know how to feel about anything that you're doing right now. This is, you're full of it. You're full of crap right now. What is that? That's a Laramie Tunsil t-shirt.
Yeah.
You're full of it.
Long sleeve.
No, there's no long sleeve. And by the way, it's 100 degrees. That makes it worse.
Okay, this house is 74 degrees right now, and it's your fault. And I'm cold all the time.
That's so awesome that you're, I even went into your home. And I felt a little bit of a chill. I was like, ooh, this is nice in here.
$250 electric bill, you know. I care about the environment. I like all these pig people laying inside their 65-degree air conditioning, wondering where the magic of electricity comes from. It comes from coal. You're burning coal so you can stay nice and cozy in your cold house when it's 100 degrees outside. Give me a break.
All I know is I've never seen a bigger bandwagon fan in my entire life right now. This is the most
Super Bowl.
I'm so disgusted with you right now.
No, nobody believes in us.
Okay. Oh, it's us against the world.
It's us against the world, baby.
That's what you were saying leading up to this season. Us against the world. Go Texans. You're going to hell for being a liar.
Ty God Taylor. Brandon Cook sleeping over people. Pharaoh Brown cannot be stopped. He's like Logan Thomas. A great young offensive line as a real offensive line coach now. Mark Ingram, 3.3 yards a carry, 26 carries, 85 yards. Watch out. Watch out, Cleveland. They did some Christian Kirksey, Football Focus linebacker of the week, one interception. Big play, Vernon Hargraves, one interception. You can't touch them. They can't be stopped, you know? In this world of divas and me first, you know, selfish tyrants, the Houston Texans have a real, actual football team that cares about the team itself, that loves one another. They're a cohesive band, and they're coming for you this week. Get ready for it. You're going to need it.
I'm more excited at the fact that you're actually going to be picking the Houston Texans to beat the Cleveland Browns.
Make sure you have a spare tire as well.
You're going to be picking them for the rest of the year. With that t-shirt, that's what you're telling me you're doing right now. Is that this is your team. No giving up on them. All the way, Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
Right?
Super Bowl. It's coming home this year.
There you go. Especially for how bad Tennessee looked. Houston's number one.
Indy looked bad too. Jacksonville looked atrocious. We're winning the division this year.
Well, yeah. I mean, Jacksonville is going to have probably coach of the year, it seems. So that's always a good sign in that division. And then you have Indy. Oh, I don't know, man. I liked it, but I didn't like it.
Kari Willis is bad, and they picked on Kari Willis a lot.
It wasn't pretty to watch because it also seemed like the same boring-ass Colts. It's like nothing ever changed.
They're the most boring team in the world.
You didn't move, like, no matter who the quarterback is, it's the exact same thing that's going on. Nothing
except
has changed.
Carson Wentz to like four carries for 34 yards. That's the only thing that's different at all. No, it's like Jacoby Brissett plus Phillip Rivers.
Brissett would do that. Who cares?
Yeah, but like Brissett couldn't throw like a 70% completion. Did you see his fumble on the quarterback sneak?
Of course. It's so bad. And it's fourth and one. And of course, that's what Carson Wentz does because it's what you expect out of Carson Wentz.
Well, and it's funny because they ran the ball in third and four, too. Like, oh, we'll get 3 yards and then just go for a fourth down. And
hey, this is what you wanted, though. You're the one who said you didn't believe in Carson. I was much more of a believer in this. And now we're coming to find out Houston Texans are the best team in this division.
Yes, sir. Undefeated. So who's your new favorite player after last week? Was there anybody that really jumped out at you that you hadn't really like had that much love in your heart for?
Not really love in my heart, but it's going back to the argument, dude. You are so wrong. David Montgomery is so good. Oh my God.
Miles Sanders is really good too.
Oh my God. I don't want to hear this. Montgomery may be one of the best backs in the league with what I was watching last week. This man,
it's a close race so far.
He is getting 4 to 5 yards a carry, and all he's doing is just throwing up the arms. And he's so itty bitty because Andy Dalton doesn't do a damn thing. Montgomery was carrying that team.
A lot of ass. He's a big ass.
He's rock solid.
Donk, you know.
So much better than Sanders. It's not even close.
They're pretty close so far.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I'm not pretty sure. Close. 100 yards and a TD. No, I don't think.
Five catches, 78 yards and a touchdown. It's close.
I don't think that's.
And
close
also, the difference is the Bears actually don't have a backup running back.
Well, I think the difference is that they don't have a quarterback whatsoever. And
yeah, that's true
their
too.
Quarterback doesn't want to play or is not allowed to play, I should say.
Dalton attempted 0 passes over 15 yards that game.
One of my insider sources sent AR-15's routes, and it's – Matt, it's probably one of the saddest things
curl,
I've ever
curl,
seen.
Curl, 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 slant,
that's all
curl,
I, like,
curl,
going up
curl,
5 yards,
slant.
Taking a right, going up 5 yards, taking a left.
Yes.
It's the worst thing on planet Earth to see. I can't make fun of Chicago because it's Nagy. It's all Nagy.
It's not all Nagy, but
– He'll be fired, Matt. You don't start Dalton. Landry Fields did it.
I love Andy.
Chris Collinsworth insulted him.
I love Andy Dalton's beard. He's like cosplaying as a lumberjack. He's like, yeah, I'm up north in the Windy City. I'm a big tough guy with my big tough beard. 0 passes over 15 yards.
Chris Collinsworth sat back and was like, you know, you have Dalton, and you're like, yeah, but then you got Landry Fields, and you're like, you got something special. It's like, man, I love you, Chris. Because you threw Dalton underneath the bus.
In the nicest way possible.
Usually I would tell you to shut up. But in fact, I want you to now run the bus back over Dalton. Because he needs it again. That's what I mean.
The other thing that was bizarre too in that telecast was every time they showed a touchdown play by Chicago, they put the Fields on the sideline. He's just like, just dead face. Like, look at him. Look at him. Look at him. And then when they put Fields out there in like the red zone, they put the camera on Dalton. He's just like, what is going on? This is ridiculous. You know, that sort of face. And it's very funny, though.
They want the real world drama. They want to see the fight on the sideline. I want to see it, too, at this point. The problem is Nagy's the one that's going to get punched in the face in the end.
I don't think anybody's getting punched, but it was a big week for me, though. Teddy was absolutely incredible last week. Houston Texans getting the big W. Jameis. Great week. The Carolina Panthers young defense had a great game.
How is Josh Allen?
Hey, people forget Pittsburgh has a really good front seven. Did you watch TJ Watt that game?
Yeah.
He was insane.
It's really crazy, and no wonder he's going to be the highest
paid. Was insane.
It's worth every single penny what he is. He's half the defense at least.
And Cam Sutton had a really good game too, and they made sure that Minka Fitzpatrick took away all their deep passes also. You know, it happens. They play like... When they played Pittsburgh last year, it's not like they scored 31 points. They scored like 20 points last year. And the reason why they lost that game was because they had a punt block. That's why they lost.
That's why.
A punt got blocked.
Uh-huh.
That was the difference in that one.
Listen, I look like an idiot too, okay, Matt? But I'll admit it. Buffalo looked like garbage.
I thought they were fine.
No. You got to beat Pittsburgh if you're going to look fine to me.
It was a punt block.
No, it's not just a punt block.
Yeah, it was a punt block, dude.
There's more things that happen than a punt block.
That's why they lost, though.
It's not. Oh
yeah, that's why they lost.
It's not the one thing. That's why. No, it's
just
not why.
To it. I have a new favorite player, though, and I thought this guy was good before, you know? And I would talk about whenever I wrote about the New York Jets, but Sanone Fadukazi, number 95.
Is that an offensive lineman?
No, he's a defensive lineman.
Okay,
big,
I'll take.
He got big too. He's gained like 40 pounds. It looks like absolutely decimated the interior of the Panthers' offensive line. if you want like a cool player before Pro Football Focus ruins them, like they ruined, you know, Cameron Curl and a whole slew of other, and Cole Holcomb and all these other guys I like, Sanone Fadukasi's the guy for you.
I'm so happy that that's what you said, because of course, Matt, you're going with the one guy that nobody paid attention to because he was on the losing team.
He had a great game.
Matthew, he lost though.
It doesn't matter.
You're blowing up a guy that's just, at least Montgomery is the only guy on that team that gives a damn. The New York Jets actually have a solid team. They just went up against the Darnold revenge game.
Yeah, and Darnold was bad too.
I know he was.
I was like, I've seen this before. He just had that one deep touchdown, Robbie. Again, last week, I think there's two things to kind of find last week. Edge rushers getting a matchup against like a bad offensive tackle and crushing it. Von Miller against Nate Solder. Max Crosby against Alejandro Villanueva. Nick Bosa or Joey Bosa against Sam Costi in Washington. And I don't know. There's some other ones. There's like TJ Watt against Darrell Williams in Buffalo. But there's a couple of those offensive tackle, defensive end matchups where, oh, and then Chandler Jones against Taylor Watt was the biggest one too. And then also against David Questenberry and Kendall Lamb whenever they came in. That was the other thing that was like really kind of fun last week. And then also teams are all playing two high defenses because that's what Brandon Staley did last year, and that's what Vic Fangio is known for too. But they were doing that, and they were also playing cover six, so you have two guys playing a fourth of the field and one guy playing half the field. And so they run these route combinations to soak up two guys on the quarter side, and then you have one versus one on the other side, and that's when you get Tyler Lockett against Kari Willis. That's how Los Angeles got their big touchdown pass to Jefferson. That's how I don't know. There's some other ones too, but there's a couple of them. I've watched a lot of games. It's been a long time. The touchdown that Robbie Anderson had was similar to the touchdown that KJ Hamler dropped against the Giants was like that also. So those are the two biggest things I saw, were these like really obscene defensive end versus offensive tackle matchups, and then deep touchdowns against, you know, two high shells where they're able to really kind of pick on a safety and put them in a bad spot and then win some touchdowns to the deep middle part of the field, you know?
No, I actually completely agree. And I mean, we'll even get into it. That's kind of what you saw with even Dak with Dallas, where they're looking, quarterbacks now are just finding a corner on the field. And to your point, they're just picking on him, where it becomes mean at times because they don't stop. The moment that a corner goes out is the moment all of a sudden the backup is just going to be worked.
Yeah, Cockrell got worked really good in that Dallas game.
It's insane, and it's funny that all of a sudden that's just become a trend. I don't even know where that started, probably with Aaron, probably with Tom, but something happened where all of a sudden all the quarterbacks are now doing it. And I will say what kind of surprised me so far with week one is the running game happened for some teams that you wouldn't expect, and then it didn't happen at all with the teams that you expected. So
yeah, I mean, I guess Cleveland did, Tennessee didn't, Seattle did a little bit. Indy didn't.
Tennessee, Dallas didn't. It was weird. Tennessee was probably the
Dallas
weirdest.
Dallas was expected. Well, yeah, we'll talk about Tennessee here.
Jacksonville was also a weird one for me.
They ran well.
Five
just
touches
behind.
For Robinson. Five touches.
They just fell behind 14-0, though.
Or maybe it's because Trevor Lawrence is not. I'll put it this way, Matt. Did you like Trevor Lawrence when you were watching him?
He made like four like sore throws, you know? Like, ooh. Really? Yeah. But then, like, the thing that was weird was two of his interceptions, and, like, he threw, like, three other really bad passes. He was on the run going the opposite direction, and they just went over – they went high. And then also Houston just played cover two, and so he had to throw the ball, like, above the first level defenders to linebackers. And so he was just missing high trying to get over that first level and kind of problems, you know, finding, like, his touch on those throws. You know, but I think he was, like, boom or bust or whatever, but the interceptions were bad, and – that's really kind of what hurt him. They also had a bunch of bad offensive penalties, too.
I guess. He just didn't – again, you and I have been talking about kind of like the young quarterbacks, even with Jameis, where we're just talking about guys that just had that arm where you could just tell, boom, oh, yeah, I'm going, I'm hungry, yum, 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 yum. But when it comes to Trevor Lawrence
– Jameis goes – he doesn't go, I'm yum, 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 yum.
Well, that's all I think about is just wedding crashes. Crab cakes and football. Yum, 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 yum.
I see what you're saying.
Sack munch.
But that's how Jameis eats, though. He's a real...
See, now you're just making fun of him. And I'm not trying to... I'm trying to be nice here today. You're the one that's picking on people. When it comes down to it, though, you're not surprised me. For being the number one pick, I'm expecting something special.
Oh, everybody was, did. He wasn't very, like, it wasn't a special game, but he made some special throws, you know.
I didn't even see the special throws. You're saying four?
That throw at Chark was incredible. That was great.
No, I'm not going to get into it. It's like more like a desperation throw where guys are going to find
him. No, that wasn't desperation.
Throw finds. It's not. That's the rules.
No, because he kept the safety in place with his eyes and then was able to put a rocket in the hole of the zone on the other side of the field. Who do you think had the best debut last week? Jones, Lance, Fields, Lawrence, and Wilson.
Ooh.
I would kind of say Wilson.
I was going to say Wilson for New York.
Because his offensive line's bad. And he got crushed, and he made some big throws, you know?
Yes.
Like, I never really thought, like, he was, like, overwhelmed at all. But, like, he got crushed by some of those pass rushes he had, you know?
But that's exactly what I'm saying, is even watching his touchdown pass to Corey Davis, he's able to see, he's able to move. I don't know what it was, man.
Throw to Corey Davis against cover three, where he's like 1-2, finds on the backside, hits it immediately. That was beautiful.
That's what I mean. That's special. That's what you can tip your hat to. You saying, the touchdown pass to Chark. It's not enough for me with Lawrence if you're the number one pick. I'm expecting you to blow the other guys out of the water.
That's what I was expecting. But you know what?
Well, Wilson looked better.
He was going up against a Super Bowl contender.
Oh.
I know, like, we don't know that right now, but we're going to be looking back on it. It's like, yeah, it makes sense. You know, the Texans were the champions last year. It makes sense he had a bad week one.
This is what the show's gonna be. Okay, I got it. I just wanted to make sure that we're on the same page here.
I agree with that, too. So I also have a confession to make. Are you ready?
Oh, God.
So I'm working my way through to watch every game from week one, and I haven't watched the Lions yet.
You mean your favorite team?
I haven't watched them yet.
That's weird, because you said that you were going to be watching this team the most out of everybody.
Out of every bad team, I said they're going to be my favorite bad team.
This is your offensive line. This is what you wanted.
It was great.
I know. Everyone was great, right? They ruined everyone's betting in Vegas. Everyone's pissed off because
they cover at the end of the game.
Back. Yeah.
but so... This week, there's a lot of good games this week as well, too. Last night, since this is coming to you on a Friday morning, probably, the Giants against Washington. Today, we're going to talk about Houston, Cleveland, KC, Baltimore, Tennessee, Seattle, and Dallas Chargers. The primetime games are going to also be KC, Baltimore, and Detroit, Green Bay on Monday night. They always screw that up.
I just want to say, all right, so my biggest, and I think we should have to have a segment where we get to have a replace or a do-over. I think my do-over before the season started. Man, New York. Bye-bye, Danny.
Oh, the Giants.
Bye-bye. We're done with you, Danny. Danny's done now.
You see his fumble?
Yes.
That was bad. That was like Carson Wentz's fumble. They both do that. They love to fumble the ball.
And it's because it's so careless where it's not even a good fumble where you're like, oh, I get it. Hit the crown of the guy's helmet. No, you're just lollygagging everywhere, and then the ball falls out. It's bad, and by the way, I'm really upset, even though, am I? Because I did just want to jinx my team in the end. Thompson.
Mm. I don't know. I still feel good about everything so far.
New York is the one thing where it's like, everything else I'm cool with, New York Giants.
Maybe Atlanta being not fun to watch.
Atlanta's awful.
But like Philly has a great defensive line, though, and Ryan was under pressure for most of that game. Oh, it's also hilarious, too, because it seems like both Arthur Smith and the Titans need each other. Like they can't exist without one another, but we'll see what happens from there. So we're also going to have two new segments. Aside from the picks, we're going to do Or we have one new segment. We're going to have the underdog pick, and also the new one's been the lock of the week. So if you don't get the lock right, you lose a point, but you don't get a point if you get it. And the underdog, you get a point, but you don't lose a point if you don't get it. And then we also have the typical 4-1. So we're going to start off with the newest Super Bowl dark horse. The team come to sweep the rest of the league and completely torch it. The 2021 Houston Texans, coming off of a 37-21 win over Jacksonville. The Texans are 12.5 point underdogs.
Yeah.
12.5 points.
Yeah, I'm surprised that it's even that less.
That's
it
insane.
Should be more.
It's
That's
insane.
What it should. This is going to be a 2-touchdown game here. I hope you're ready. And by the way, I'm probably wrong because I will not disagree with the tie god Taylor right now.
Hey, he made like 3 downfield throws that were bananas. He escaped from like 9 pressure attempts. And then he also had like 1 long run of like 40 yards also.
And here's the thing
Deshaun Hootson?
Well, you don't really see if it's like he was replaced by Herbert because his lung was punctured.
Well, he was also a bench for Baker because he was bad in Cleveland too.
He's a guy that's got something to prove though.
Yeah.
And by the way,
nobody believes in him. Nobody believes in the Texans. He's the perfect quarterback.
And he makes Deshaun look like a jackass.
Deshaun Watson?
Yep.
Houston? Deshaun Houston, and he's from Houston?
It makes him look stupid now at this point. If Houston goes 500, oh my lord. There's going to be parties in the street. I'm pretty sure a parade in Houston will happen.
I think more people will be mad if they went 500 than if they went 2-15.
Well, yeah, because now you have a draft pick.
Yeah.
Which I always said you already screwed it up. If you want my honest opinion, you should have somehow lost. But
well, it's a long season. You can't forget that. I do think, talking about the Giants are a really good spot for Watson. I wrote about that today because they have the Bears' first-round pick, and they have their first-round pick. Those may be 2 top-10 picks. So the Giants could trade 2 top-10 picks, 2 second-round picks for Watson, and then, I don't know, throw in Saquon Barkley. Who cares? Barkley was awful.
Yeah,
that was depressing. He's like afraid to run.
And it's because the moment that he's even like, there's no shimmy anymore. It's
well, he keeps trying to shimmy, but it doesn't work. He's just like shimmying. He doesn't run a field at all.
But that's where he used to be able to do those tricks. But the injuries, man, they're starting to catch up to him more and more, which is really kind of the problem, which is why I didn't really trust any running backs.
Yeah, that's why it's hard to draft one that early.
Yeah.
Well, I'm talking about the NFL draft, not fantasy.
Well, I mean, either way, it's just hard to be able to predict when it comes to the running back because it's always – it's lightning in a bottle in a way where you're wanting to catch them at that right time to when there's that spark, to when they're going off. Same thing with Zeke in his first year. You're hoping it can hold Derrick Henry, for example, but eventually it's going to explode or go out, and it's just not going to work. And Saquon, I just feel like there's too many cracks in the bottle to where it's just now blown up.
Yeah, well, Henry was a second-round pick also. I think if you draft a running back early, he has to be good in the pass game, and Saquon's never been like all that much of a pass catcher either.
He's been able to play. He can't
Well, last time these two teams played, the Texans lost 10-7. I think this is a game where the Texans had like 1 first down through 3 quarters because it was really windy, and the Texans had a really bad run game last year, the worst run game in football. Together, Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb combined for 38 carries for 240 yards. I think that's good. What do you think?
Matt, I'm not going to lie to you. This is kind of my favorite running backs to ever watch at this point in the league. I love watching a duo where you truly, it's a switching off where I've never seen where it works so well. Oh, hey, it's Chubb's drive. This is where Chubb's now going to go down. The moment we get to the 20, we're not going to switch you, Hunt. Instead, we're going to leave Chubb in. He needs to get his TDs. Let him get his TDs. Oh, and then we're going to bring you in for the 2-point conversion because we know that you're just going to make a play, and then we'll bring you in later in on the game because that's when you're going to be fresh while Chubb needs to rest. They are so dangerous. I love their running backs more than anything.
Mm-hmm. And they were last week they had 26 carries for 153 yards, about 6 yards a carry. Willis did get hurt the ankle injury, but it looks like he's going to play this week. Conklin looks like he's going to play too, but they don't know exactly just yet with him either. I loved their offense last week. Like, just I love how they pull their blockers through an outside zone like they do. I think Baker was like good from a quick pass perspective. He just had that one mistake with the interception at the end of the game where he steps up and rather than just run for, and it was first down too. That's the problem with that interception. It's first down. Just run and slide, you know, run and slide. He double pumps, throws on the sideline, nowhere close, and Sneed is able to get the interception. But I just love how they attack all sides of the field too, with how they run their play action games with bootlegs and regular play actions. They're able to get a few deep shots in there as well too. Landry consistently moves the chain. Schwartz had a really nice game also. And like, they just go horizontal, horizontal, horizontal. And they're able to go horizontal both their passing game and their run game, which was really great to see. But like you talked about in the text message we had, they're a little sister still right now.
And it's such a damn shame to see because you and I even, again, another message at the very beginning of the game, that first drive was so beautiful where we go, this is the Cleveland team. This is what we want to be able to watch, just the domination going down the field, and then hopefully you're able to withheld the Patrick Mahomes. But you can't make a mistake at the end of the game when you have the chance here. Like, this is where you're supposed to be smart. And now, by the way, Cleveland's supposed to have, in a way, experience. You're supposed to be able to kind of know what to do with those situations to not overdo it, to go for what they're going to give you. It's the same thing with why Tom wins. You're not overdoing the last drive. You're taking what the team is giving you. You're making it – exactly. You're simplifying it in order to get the points. And
Tom never, like, rushes a game-winning drive. Like, he's never, like, in a frenzy. He's never taking risks that need to be taken at all, you know?
Because there's no point if you have the time. For example, if there's a minute left, why are you rushing? You can clearly see whenever Tom's with Dallas or even with certain scenarios with other quarterbacks, if they have a minute and a half and one timeout, going down the field is so easy for them. And Baker needs to get like that because his team is good enough.
Yeah.
Like, that's what bothers me is that Cleveland has such a great team, and the only thing is just their quarterback makes the mistakes that he can't make.
And he's never, I mean, they've won at Ohio State. Like, Baker, I've never seen him, like, have a game-winning drive. I've never seen him, like, really win anything at all before, you know?
Does he need to have a Browns flag that he can just go and, like, just throw in the middle of people's fields? Like Spartan or some crap that he did in college? Is that what it's going to take for him to be able to have some type of – he is just still, again, in the end, little sister to Patrick Mahomes, big brother.
Well, I think he's not little sister Patrick Mahomes. The Browns are little sister to Patrick Mahomes because it's not Baker. If it was Baker, they would be – you know, like dog crap on the bottom of Patrick Mahomes' shoe, but it's the Browns as a team makes them, you know, little sister. Well, Myles Garrett last week was phenomenal. You know, he had a sack, he had three quarterback hits. Clowney actually made a tackle on a jet sweep, which was incredible. Had a tackle for a loss, had a couple of pressures. Malik Jackson had a really good game last week too. Cleveland has a good front four pass rush. I don't think the Texans offensive line was very good last week. There's a lot of talk like, oh, the left side paved the way. They really pass protected well. I don't think they really did. They gave up 9 hurries, 3 quarterback hits and a sack, but Taylor was just really good at escaping pressure consistently, you know, and they blitzed 11 times against them. They averaged, you know, less than about like a little bit more than 3 yards a carry too. For their running backs alone as well. And so I don't think they like the left side of the line pass block or run block very well. I don't think their pass protection is all that great. And they're going against a really dominant front four rush too. And Myles Garrett was really good against Laremy Tunsil last year too. And he's coming off COVID. He was kind of rusty to start off his season as well. So like, do you think Tyrod Taylor can have the same, you know, slippery, smooth escape ability to get past Clowney and Jackson and Malik McDowell and Myles Garrett?
It's a hard one for me, and it's only because last week, this is what you have to believe. So is Tygod Taylor that good? Or was Jacksonville and the coach that I'm just going to forget his name because it's only going to be 1 year and he's fired after this week?
Their defensive coordinator in Jacksonville is Joe Colan. He was the last time he was a DC was in Baltimore. He got drunk and fell asleep in a drive-thru naked. and that was like 5 years ago. It's been a long, long, or he was a coach in Baltimore. And it's been a long, long, long road to redemption for him to have that job again. But they couldn't play man coverage against stack sets. Like, that was all like Houston did, is they used stack sets, and Cleveland couldn't Jacksonville couldn't pass anything off at all. And Cleveland's kind of playing that same quarters coverage with John Johnson on their roster now too. So, and you know, they gave that big touchdown to Tyreek Hill from that same coverage I was talking about earlier too.
Wait. I just got to go back to this real quick. So what drive-through was he in naked?
I have no idea.
Okay, well, I think this is really important, because if it's like a Del Taco, it's like maybe I understand. If it's like maybe a fancy place, like what if he was like in the Olive Garden to-go line or something?
And he's naked.
Yeah, it's like maybe that's a guy who just wants to be classy.
I think Taco Bell is the only one that's acceptable.
Well, that's true. Taco Bell would not have called the police whatsoever. In fact, they probably would have thrown him like a towel or something. This happens, sir. We understand. Here's your complimentary towel.
Hey, yeah, here's your towel for living outside the box, you know.
This is what we do. Here's your taco box.
Yeah.
That'd be so incredible. Overall, I just think that with the Texans, this week will really prove if Tyrod's able to escape in these type of situations to be able to make the plays. Brandon Cooks, I'm not sure if he's going to be able to
manhandle
a pass away from the Cleveland Browns corners. I just think things are going to be a little bit different this week. It's still a high point coverage to be able to cover, however. I don't know the Texans. That's my problem. If they were to make this a close game, Matt, I'm really going to be blown away. I'm really going to be like, okay, something's up, something's weird. I'm going to be shocked.
Yeah, so Jacksonville last week, Carlos Hyde and James Robinson averaged 4.9 yards a carry. But they only ran the ball 14 times. They fell down 14-0 because Jacksonville attempted a 55-yard field goal down 7-0, and they gave the Texans really great field position, led to a 14-0 deficit, and they were kind of like stuck throwing a lot from there. I also can't get over how many screens and quick passes they try to throw against the cover two defense. Those plays don't work against that. So I make my pick, and there's nothing logical that points to this. There's not a matchup on the field where the Texans have an advantage. Zero. There isn't one.
Exactly.
This is like a 91 overall team versus a 64 overall team. There's zero here.
Yeah.
But you know what? Nobody believes in this team. Nobody believes in us, but I believe in Tygod Taylor. They beat the Jaguars last week, 37-21. You know, against a little bit better opponent, I'm going to go Texans 31, Browns 24.
Wow. You are – oh, my God. Oh, okay, but you don't get the point if somehow the Cleveland just don't cover the spread, because the spread is huge.
Yeah, I get points still.
Oh, this is disgusting. You're actually
I'm picking them to win, and I'm picking them with the spread to cover.
All right. This game, I'm sorry. I just, again, this will surprise me. This will blow me away. I'm really interested. But I got 31, Cleveland, 17, Houston.
All right. So you're going Cleveland then.
I am. I'm going Cleveland all the way on this one. It's a lot of points to cover. Don't get me wrong.
It's crazy.
It is. And especially after seeing the Texans, it's just, I think they're where I'm at. I don't know what the Texans are because after last week, I think the Jacksonville Jaguars are that bad.
Yeah, it was tough for them. So the next game we have here, the Tennessee Titans against the Seattle Seahawks. The Titans may be screwed.
Okay, I was going to want to talk to you about this. So, Matt, do you think you and I kind of missed something where we've always talked about how teams kind of don't change, like Green Bay Packers, for example, where they just keep doing the same thing, but they're not changing really the personnel that's going to make them
better? Yeah, but Tennessee did make changes in personnel, though.
But
they're not like...
What am I missing then? Because it was gross. Now, the only other thing that I saw that I will say about Tennessee then, if you're going to counteract my point on that, the only other thing I saw was, what, does Tannehill think he has 10 seconds to throw?
Well, no, I mean, I think the biggest thing, well, like that bootleg they ran, I think it's the offensive coordinator and the defense coordinator.
Really?
Because, all right, look at that bootleg they ran with Chandler Jones. Yeah. They're running a bootleg at Chandler Jones, leaving him unblocked. That was the play call. Like, you're running, you're like expecting Jones to chase the back from the backside and leave Tannehill wide open. You can't run that at Chandler Jones. You can't. It's a terrible idea. And then Tannehill gets absolutely destroyed, fumbles the ball, and they go down after from that point on. They ran play action like, I don't know, like 40% of the time last year. They ran play action on less than 5% of their pass attempts in this game last week. They ran a ton of isolation routes against zone coverage. You can't run isolation routes against zone coverage. They didn't do anything to overflood the zones at all. They didn't run any route combinations to be able to create one versus one matchups to take advantage of anything. AJ Brown didn't even have a pass attempt until the second quarter.
Yep.
Julio Jones dropped, I think, like three passes and had a 15-yard penalty on him. Didn't really look like he was ready to play football yet this year. Derrick Henry didn't break any tackles. It'll take some while to get going. And also, their offensive line, you know, Taylor Wong was out last year. This is his first game back. They're playing David Questmere at right tackle. Kendall Lamb even came in. They were beat at the offensive line as well, too. And without Arthur Smith here, they did not look like the Tennessee Titans at all whatsoever. And that was one of the big questions we had during the season with them. There's like, you know, all these question marks. How much of an impact are Danico Autry and Bud Dupree going to make? Are they going to have, you know, an actual defensive improvement with a new defensive coordinator? How much are they going to miss Arthur Smith? Can Derrick Henry keep up the same workload? Is Julio Jones going to be injured or not? And none of those things were good at all this week. Those are all big questions, and all of them were wrong, and they lost by 3-plus scores as a result of it.
And again, you say that there were changes made. For me, It just seems
coaching changes was the negative, though. But yeah, they add Autry, they add Dupree, they add Janoris Jenkins. They got Christian Fulton back from last year. They drafted two cornerbacks, won the first round. They got Julio.
Say it all. The Julio thing, by the way, you're not going to win on that one.
That's seven new players, though. It's not a personnel thing, though.
It just looks like been there, done that, where there's nothing that's this. I don't know what's going on with the Tennessee Titans, but that was truly disappointing. Where one guy should not have five sacks on your quarterback. You would think that eventually you would just be able to understand, don't go to that guy or block that guy. Something would have to change. Chandler Jones probably got $100,000 for every sack, or probably just whatever five sack bonus that he had.
He has one of those. Well, and also like Jones' sacks, he had one unblocked, one against the right tackle, and then he had three. Sacks. And he had three against Luan.
That's pretty bad. The only other thing that I truly saw when it comes to it's like what I said. Tannehill, listen, man, I don't know what you're doing, but every time that he was trying to look down, like down the field, nothing was there, and he would just dump it off. But he wouldn't even take
because they were playing zone coverage, and they're running isolation routes, and those don't work. I don't blame Tannehill at all whatsoever. He didn't have anything open.
That's the coaching staff not being able to adjust to what the defense is.
No, it's the coaching staff not having the knowledge to run the offense they ran the year before. And they're trying to run the same offense again because they don't have the same guy there anymore. They're trying to run Arthur Smith's offense, but they're not Arthur Smith.
Maybe so if that's what you're trying. But that's what I mean. It's been there, done that, where there's nothing that's new here.
Yeah, but it worked for three straight years, though. But again, the point isn't that the offense is the same. It's worked every time. The problem is that the guy running the offense isn't there anymore.
I can't believe that I'm going to look like a jackass for thinking that the Tennessee Titans are going to be good.
I still think they're the best team in this division, aside from the Houston Texans.
Look at this. I caught you. I knew I was going to.
You didn't catch me at all.
It takes a little bit to get you to say what you were really wanting. Take off the shirt.
No. I said except for the Houston Texans.
You're a buster.
They're better than Jacksonville. They're better than Indy. The problem, though, like, with their pass protection is that Seattle's edge rushers were really good last week. They had six sacks against Indianapolis. Darrell Taylor, I talked about him the season preview, how excited I was to watch him play. He had a one-versus-one match against Braden Smith. Absolutely undressed him. Like, it was one of the most despicable things I've ever seen. That was that fourth down attempt they went for in Seattle's red zone. He undressed him. He liquefied him. It was absolutely insane what he did. But yeah, they had three sacks and six quarterback hits. Two of them were against Julian Davenport as well. Lamb and Questenberry Luan gave up five sacks and six hits. These are all to Chandler Jones. Seattle has a good edge rush. Like, I know you didn't agree with me in the season, but it's good. And this is a bad matchup for Tennessee from that perspective, too. They couldn't block Chandler Jones, and now they're going against the edge rush that has eight guys deep that can give them problems as well.
I don't know what to think of Seattle. I agree with you, but also you did not believe in the Indianapolis Colts because you hate Carson Wentz. So even though you're saying I was right about the Seattle's defense, you also hate the Indianapolis offense. So
it's it's fine, typically.
It's still a counteract for me. In the end, though, I will say Seattle kind of surprised me. It just seems like, though, that they got away with it because of the Lockett play of the 68-yarder when it's, a 3rd and 16 or
second. It was like 3rd and 22.
Yeah, it was something along those lines.
And that play was cover 6, and it was Corey Willis. Metcalf sucked up 2 defenders. They sucked up both the guys in quarters. It's Corey Willis versus Tyler Lockett.
He steps behind him.
Yeah, I'm saying it's Corey Willis against Tyler Lockett, and Corey Willis had a really tough game. Multiple times he missed tackles and got beat.
In the end, Seattle did surprise me because it did look like the same old Seattle where it was the magician just doing what he does, making the great plays, knowing when the guy is beat, making the passes to Metcalf. Everything seemed to work.
That Lockett one was easy, though. That was, right away. And what I understand from Indy, too, is that if you're playing that defense, why don't you put Julian Blackman in the half field role? Why are you putting Corey Willis covering half the field? It makes zero sense.
I do want to go back to the Seattle defense because that is what kind of surprised me more than anything. They were able to get pressure on Wentz, it seemed like, most of the game, even though Wentz didn't panic like he did last year.
Yeah, he was fine.
Yeah, it wasn't that happy feed. It wasn't, I'm going to stare at a guy while he's chasing after me. It just seemed like that Seattle was on point. It really did.
Brooks looked really good. Jordan Brooks looked really good in coverage. And they have fat guys in the interior. They have Al Woods and Puna Ford. And those are big fat guys right there.
Big fat guys, what?
They have big fat guys. That's important.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, big fat guys are important.
Fat guy segment?
Yeah, Puna Ford, big fat guy. Al Woods, big fat guy. That's important to stop the run. Jonathan Taylor in the run game, only 17 carries for 56 yards. Yep. Kind of lending itself to, in obvious run situations, like you're going to see with Derrick Henry this week. I don't know if they're going to be able to run the ball very well. For Tennessee against Seattle, and all of Indy's rushing yards came from Carson Wentz scrambles, and then from Nyheim Hines, getting runs against spread formations.
I'm gonna agree with you. I just think that when it comes to the Tennessee Titans this week, man, after watching, and maybe you're right, where this is the wannabe just their last year offense, but it's not the same coach, so it's not gonna work. Which
I'm telling you, it is. I'm a Titans fan.
But that's what I'm saying then. So Seattle, for me, is probably going to come out here and dominate Tennessee.
I completely agree.
And it's because Tennessee doesn't have an identity.
No, they have an identity. They just can't do it anymore. They don't know how to do it. It's like they bought all the parts, but they don't have the instruction manual at all anymore because the instruction manual went to Atlanta. And also, Mike Vrabel's never been a good defensive coordinator either,
Well, it's weird that the offense just kind of made him look better with having Derrick Henry sustain the ball and sustain the clock versus.
Yeah, and he doesn't even coach that side,
Well, no. I'm saying that it made the defense look better because weren't.
Yeah. But their best defensive year, though, is with Dean Pease, And Dean. He's in Atlanta now.
Who's Dean?
Dean Pease.
Dean Pease. I don't know who you're saying right
We've
now.
We've talked about Dean Pease before.
I know, but I can't understand what you're saying. Get the marbles out of your mouth.
Dean Pease.
There we go. I like it.
I'm really sad that Dylan Raddins didn't play at all last week,
You're not sad. You weren't even, nobody here was paying attention to that. Nobody here
I'm very sad.
Nobody brought that up.
That's the other thing they do, too, that doesn't make any sense. They draft guys early. They don't use them at all. They use a second-round pick on them. But yeah, Bowen's defense hasn't been good yet. And last week was a lot of man coverage with Janoris Jenkins on DeAndre Hopkins. Look, Janoris Jenkins is okay. They gave him a big contract because they needed, cornerback help. And, with him and Fulton and Farley and maybe Molden, that would be an average or above average group as a whole. But then I'm a lockdown cornerback. They had a lot of one-versus-one matchups with Janoris Jenkins and DeAndre Hopkins. And it went terribly. It was absolutely awful for him. And so this week you're going to have Jenkins game matchups against Metcalf and Lockett, and he can't cover those guys.
Hey, Matt, did you like Arizona last week?
Yeah, they were fun. You know, Isaiah Simmons was really good last week.
Yeah.
That was what freaked me out. It was like, and he like actually tackled, and he was enormous. I was like, yeah, this is kind of scary.
Arizona looked really, really good. It was pretty insane.
Can four teams make the playoffs from one division?
Yes, they can. Theoretically, they can.
I think they could.
They can now because of the new rule. They would be able to.
I still think New Orleans gets in.
That's easy.
It's gonna be a knife fight. It's gonna be a rock fight. What else could you have? I don't know. Those are both cliches.
There's also the West too, man. Ooh.
It's gonna be screwed up out there. But yeah, Arizona looked really good. They were fun.
They were.
They scared me a little bit.
I mean, everything scared me though with that division. I just was very surprised with everything that I saw. Wasn't expecting Seattle to dominate. Wasn't expecting Arizona to be fun. I kind of got everything that I wanted. It's just this year I predicted the opposite. So,
So what's your pick for this game?
I think, like I said, I didn't like what I watched when it came to Tennessee last week, so I'm going Seattle. I got another kind of blowout or a similar. I got 31 Seattle. I got 19 Tennessee.
Unbelievable.
I mean, unbelievable.
So I have Seattle 31, Tennessee 20.
Okay, dude, like, stop. You just like picked exactly what I
no,
did.
No.
This is stupid. See, change your pick. All right, you're picking Tennessee. Switch it.
I'm the only thing is that I don't think Tennessee's screwed for the entire season, but they're screwed for this game.
Man,
their teeth are going to be broken. They're going to go see a dentist.
I think they're screwed for the whole season, dude.
I don't think so.
Maybe it's just week one.
Okay, so who do you think is going to win this division?
When it comes to who's going to win this division?
The Houston Texans.
Closer. It's the Houston Texans. That's who's going to win this division.
I think there's a chance. I think they're going to do it.
By the way, this may be the worst division in football.
I think it is.
Yes. Welcome to the NFC East and the AFC. Woo!
So the next game we have here, we're going to do Dallas Chargers because they play at 3 o'clock. The Chargers are 3-point favorites at home. So against a really good defense last week, Justin Herbert, 31 for 47, 337 yards, one touchdown, one interception. The Chargers as a whole have 424 total yards, two red zone turnovers, kind of hurt them. And they also ended the game in Washington's own side of the field. They really didn't have any problems moving the ball at all. This week, they're going against a Cowboys defense that allowed 31 points, even though the Buccaneers had four turnovers and had really no run game at all to speak of. How excited are you for your Dallas Cowboys getting the Justin Herbert's experience?
Oh, my God. I'm so screwed. It's a whole big ball of depression going on right now. I've lost DeMarcus Lawrence now because of a broken foot. I've lost
6 to 8 weeks.
I've lost Randy Gregory on the other end.
Groin, right?
Yeah. I've lost Lionel Collins.
Suspended for 5 games.
Yeah.
What did he do?
Nobody knows, actually. Everyone's saying it's not steroids. Nobody knows what the hell he did. And nobody's saying that it's drugs or anything. I don't know what he did or what the hell was in his body. My guess, it's a horse tranquilizer. It's the only thing that would make sense on why you can't pinpoint on what was wrong with it. It's a horse tranquilizer. Other than that, when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys, I don't like this game whatsoever because Herbert last week, it just seemed like Washington is such a freaking good team now with Heineke, and Herbert did make a mistake where Washington wasn't able to capitalize, where it was the pick that he threw where he was in the red zone.
Yeah.
Just think Dallas is going to need to be able to put pressure on him without having the defensive ends to be able to do that.
Yeah.
I think he's going to have his way with me.
Well,
I don't know.
And one of the guys he talked about, like, the Chargers offensive line was great last week, But yeah. One of the problems they have is Brian Beluga already got hurt. And he gets hurt right away the last 2 years as well, too. In his place is Storm Norden, who played some offensive tackle for them last year. Storm Norden wasn't good last year. I don't know if he's good now after a summer of strength and conditioning. But that was kind of the only hope for kind of Dallas in this game, was that you get DeMarcus Lawrence against Storm Norden. You create enough pressure. Maybe get a turnover or two. And that doesn't exist now. And the other thing that's kind of scary for Dallas this week is the strength of this team is supposed to be their linebackers. Gronkowski had like 100-plus receiving yards last week against these linebacker group. They have problems against stopping passes to the middle of the field still, this linebacker group. And so I don't really have any hope at all for Dallas's defense in this one.
No, and it's hard too, because even being able to watch Eckler and even watching them, and my big issue was watching the very first drive with the Chargers last week of just the domination. And it's always the third down passes. I can tell you before it happens, it's going to Keenan Allen. Oh, hey, it's third and 16. It's going to Keenan Allen.
I've never seen anybody run routes like how Keenan Allen runs them. It's crazy.
It's there. It's going in and out like it's a snake or something.
Yeah.
I don't even think it's on the playbook.
It's like AM1 mixtape tour without a basketball. It's like they're playing with, he's playing with an invisible basketball.
And it's interesting because, like what I said, it just seems like that it always happens on third down. Like it's an automatic third down play that they always go to. There's a third down playbook where it's only Herbert and out. And that's the only people that are going to be paying attention to it, because it's insane to watch. 36, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many yards. You know it's going to Keenan Allen in the red zone. Keenan Allen is going to get some type of slant that's going to try to put him in there. It's fun to watch, and then you have Eckler where it just seems like a pounding you down your throat.
He had like 56 rushing yards last week. They're not really pounding by down the throat, you know?
No. I'm just only saying that's against Washington, though. Stop it. You're really
They're not going to run the ball very much this year.
I'll put it this way. I think they're going to run the ball plenty where Eckler has a good game against Dallas, because I think you're going to be able to have your way against this defense.
Dallas stopped the run pretty well last week.
You're not going to do it this week when they don't have anybody to help.
I think they'll be able to stop the run all right.
Because Micah Parsons is the real deal. Say it.
No, I mean, like, their interior defenders are okay. Their linebacker group, the spy, you know how bad they were in the past week before. They chase and tackle pretty well. And the Chargers still haven't like really shown the ability to really move the first level with all that much consistency. I do like their backup rookie running back, though. He had a good game.
Was it Roundhouse?
Yeah. Roundtree? No, it's Roundtree. It's Roundtree without the D, though.
I like Roundhouse better. Just a Roundhouse kick to the face.
I like Roundhouse without the D, though. It's Roundhouse.
Yeah, Roundhouse.
Yeah. But I'm not really expecting to run the ball a whole lot, though. But yeah, that was like the one spot they had, was Marcus Lawrence against the right tackle. Lawrence was great last week. He was awesome that first game.
Man, everything was great last week of being able to watch Dallas do what they were doing. Because even with Dak, oh my God, nobody blew the game. It just seemed like everything was just because Tom was better, and that's why he ended up winning the game. He just had to get you in the spot of the field goal range, which you knew he was going to be able to do. I'm not taking anything away from the defense. They were able to create the turnovers. I could not believe how many fumbles. They made Ronald Jones on the bench for the whole game and being able to be in the doghouse. And then Dak was able to control the offense. He put me in a position to win the game. And it's just going up against Tom. What am I to hate on by what Dallas showed me last week? It just sucks because I'm so high on the hill, and now I'm having to fall back down because I have all these injuries where I expect Dallas to go 0-2 because Herbert the Sherbert is going to destroy me.
Herbert's going to shoot a Sherbert all over your cowboy chest.
I hope it's a lime, strawberry, and orange sherbet because I'm going to like it. I hate that it's against my team. And this is just a rough year to start out 0-2. But it's a long year. So
Dallas is like, they're going to be really similar to Tennessee and Indy, you know?
No, I don't want to be compared to those two teams.
It's
those two teams
it's
look
the same
like crap
thing.
To me.
It's
I look
thing.
Good compared to those two teams. They looked awful. I was positive. Oh,
the point. The point I'm trying to make, though, is that you're going to start off 0-2, playing in a bad division. and it's going to be the result of, you know, playing a tough schedule to start off. Like, you're not going to not be a playoff team because you're 0-2, but it's just starting off in a bad spot.
You see Philly? Come on, stop it. You see Washington? Come on, stop it. Bad division, my ass. You're in the division that's bad. Don't you try to put that on the
NFC. Y'all are back down here with us, too.
I just want to say this, though. I agreed with everything last week except for Greg the Leg and Mike McCarthy, where you missed
that's the one thing I'd be mad about. That's the one thing I feel. That boob doesn't get it. He will never get it.
The field goal attempt, whenever you miss, you're like, okay. And then the 60-yard attempt, McCarthy, go for it. What do you mean go for it? He missed a 37-yarder.
He has bipolar disorder.
I just could not. I was losing my mind. Dad and I sitting there just going, yeah, he missed a 37. He's got the 60. What the hell?
You know, you have like the devil on your right shoulder and the angel on your left shoulder. Yeah. Or it's the other way around. McCarthy has the devil under his left tit, an angel on top of his right tit.
Yeah, except he always looks at which one has the devil, the left tit or the right tit?
Yeah, the left side's the evil side.
Okay, then he always looks underneath the left tit.
Yeah. But the fourth down thing was so stupid. What did you think about Dak's arm last week? Do you have any concern about Prescott at all?
No. And that's what I hated more than anything about last week, where I can honestly say, and if our listeners understand, I have not been big on Dak Prescott. I hated on him last year for only getting me points in the garbage time. Last week, he gave me the lead. He did everything he was supposed to. I hate losing Gallup, but the fact that he was being able to see, like what I talked about at the beginning, the cornerback that wasn't able to guard, Zeke
Cockrell.
Not run.
No. Are you talking about Dallas's cornerbacks?
No, I'm talking about Buccaneers quarterbacks and Dak being able to take advantage because him not being able to see that Zeke was not able to run the ball and he was able to audible out of a lot of runs because it just wasn't working.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of teams are going to be able to run against Tampa, which is why I'm
Nobody is.
Yeah. And
nobody ever does.
But Dak took advantage of what they gave him. And he gave me the lead. He didn't touch the ball to lose the game. He had me the victory, and it was just going up against Tom. I love watching Dak, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, and this is it's not like like last week, whenever they scored a bunch of points against Tampa Bay, it was against man coverage, and they were able to have, you know, Amari Cooper against Ross Cockrell and things like that. This week is different. They don't play man coverage at all in Los Angeles. They're going to play a lot of quarters, a lot of cover seven, and you won't have these one-versus-one matchups. So it's going to be up to, you know, Cooper finding holes in the zone, CeeDee finding holes in the zone. I like Dalton Schultz a lot, too. He was fun last week. But there's one big issue for Dallas, and that's Lael Collins being out. And so you're going to get Joey Bosa against Terrence Steele. And he absolutely destroyed Sam Cosmi last week, you know? And so, like, he was the big difference maker for their defense. And so if Lael Collins was playing, I think maybe Dallas would have a better chance to win a shootout here. But with Joey Bosa against Terrence Steele, I'm going the Chargers all the way. And so I'm going, the Chargers are 3-point favorites. I'm going Chargers 34, Dallas 30.
I hate you so much. All right. Herbert the Sherbert. I want to just be gentle with me. I'm taking the Chargers. I have them at a shootout here. I have them at 37. I have Dallas at 31.
All right. And the Chargers, I know they only scored 20 points last week, but they had two red zone turnovers and really moved the ball well against them. You know, it was a misleading 20 points.
Matt, it's entirely different to me, man. Come on, that's Washington's defense. If anybody watched last week's game, it just seemed like that Chargers were playing smart and protecting.
They're very smart. Their defense is smart. Their offense is smart. They're just a really intelligent team last week.
And with Washington, you have to be able to do that. And now Washington has the real quarterback that they needed, which, by the way, I said at the beginning, Heinicke is the real deal, by the way.
He's real, like, he's the real Case Keenum.
He's what Washington.
He's just like Case Keenum.
He's like what the quarterback they've always wanted.
His arm is soft serve, though. He has the weakest arm I've ever seen.
Doesn't matter because he's going to give them what they want.
It's like he's throwing a volleyball.
It was better to watch than Fitzpatrick, though.
Yeah, he only played two series.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. And it already looked disgusting versus Heinicke. You're like, this is the guy.
Yeah, he has a little bit more. I don't know. We'll see.
There's a little bit more zip to the guy. Come on.
I guess so. I have a good feeling on it.
Defense, Matt. Oh, my God.
I just Heinicke just cracks me up just because of his arm. So the last game here, Kansas City versus Baltimore. This is going to be your Sunday night football game. The Chiefs are 3-point favorites on the road. So the Ravens right now, they're in your reserve. You ready?
Give it to me.
Rashad Bateman, Miles Boykin, Nick Boyle, J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, L.J. Fort, Marcus Peters, Tyree Phillips. And this week, they're also missing Ronnie Stanley at left tackle. They're going to move Alejandro Villanueva to left tackle, find somebody else to play right tackle. I think the Ravens are cursed this year. And I think the Ravens are going to miss the playoffs this season.
Oh, I wonder who could have predicted this or who would have hinted at this, saying that they weren't going to be the team that everybody expected them to be. However, I'm going to give you this. The injuries are bad luck. It just seems like that. It's kind of the writing on the wall or in the stars where Baltimore, it's just not their season.
And that's it's how kind I of feel.
Yeah, and it's kind of depressing to watch because I'm not going to hold it too much against Lamar. It's just I'm going to hold it a lot against Lamar. And he's going to be taking all the repercussions that I have. Because I said that he's not going to be able to win the games. And this is kind of the point. You're wanting to pay these quarterbacks that big money where they're already talking about a lucrative deal for him. Well, then he needs to win some damn games. You blowing it against Oakland was awful to watch.
It was like the Wentz thing. It was like the Daniel Jones thing. Like, they all three had like those late fumbles that hurt him.
And it's like you're supposed to be that guy where, again, you're going to get this contract. You're going to be paid as a top five quarterback. But what have you truly done that's really going to show me that you're that top five guy where I just, man, I'm still not seeing it. He made an incredible throw to Brown when it came to the end zone in the corner. I loved it. I'm just still not seeing the consistency that I want
to. Yeah, it's like the consistency within the structure of the offense. Yeah. And like, we talked about their sideline passing. He was credited 2 for 3 for 78 yards. But it was kind of. That throw to Sammy Watkins counted. That was more like off the hash.
Sammy Watkins one?
Yeah, he threw a 48-yard pass to Sammy Watkins.
Well, no, I know, but
they count that as the sideline. I didn't think it was a sideline throw, though.
It wasn't.
I thought it was more like a deep middle throw. The only one watching it was that one down the left sideline. He threw it 5 yards over the guy, out of bounds. It wasn't even a chance at all. And he's still straying away from those throws, you know? And in Vegas, they did a lot of things to really key in on their run game. One of my favorite things they did was they played their defensive end towards the strong side of the formation, like a real wide 5 or a real wide 9. So that way he could just run into the backfield at the mesh point and be able to create havoc. They did a good job using stunts as well, too, to be able to loop linebackers and create confusion as well. And the Ravens, like, actual play-by-play run game wasn't very good last week. They just had that big run by Tyshawn Williams, that big run by Lamar Jackson. But their run game was kind of crappy, you know? And this is against a Raiders defense that hasn't been good, you know, for the last 3 seasons, too.
Well, and again, you're not going to try to hold too much against them because of all the injuries where they don't have a running back. It's just
not that important, though.
I agree, actually. And for me, it would be next man up where, to your point, it's not to say Vegas has such a dominant front where you shouldn't be able to at least get some type of yardage out of somebody. My other issue when it comes to Baltimore is, Matt, it seems like whenever they go up big with points, or not even big, it's just they go up like 2 scores maybe. It's not like you're slowing it down and you're controlling the clock where you're being so dominant. They're giving teams so much the option of being able to come back, where a team like Kansas City, for example, a team like Buffalo, Pittsburgh, sadly enough for me to say, it just seems like they would be able to come back on a team like this because the Baltimore Ravens are never going to be too far out of reach.
That's not true just because the Ravens last year and the year before, they won a lot of games like 41-17, you know? I mean, like last week, I think it was a difference of circumstances where that fumble was really kind of like what crushed them. And the other thing was that the Ravens usually pass protect really well. And Max Crosby was incredible. Yannick Ngakoue was great as well, too. Against Ronnie Stanley and Crosby's mainly against Villanueva. And they were awesome on the exterior. And Lamar Jackson really had, like, no time to throw the ball. And it was really surprising to watch a Ravens team that couldn't pass protect well at all.
I just still don't like this team whatsoever. And yeah, it's just...
I'm not disagreeing with you on that.
But it's still, I'm wanting to be able to see something, and I'm just seeing nothing where, like what I said, if Baltimore is up by two scores, dude, the team's coming back. The other team they're playing against coming back.
Typically, they
don't. More than half the teams in the NFL are going to be able to come back.
I mean, maybe this year, I guess, when it is what you're saying. But typically, they don't, though.
Yes. No, that's what I'm saying. I'm talking about this year from what I watched last week against the Raiders. That was pathetic. That was really sad to watch for me. You're supposed to be dominant. It doesn't matter, to your point, that you've lost the guys. You're supposed to be still that dominant team. And they weren't.
Yeah, and I mean, also you think about that Ravens team from 2 years ago. That was an offensive line that had Marshall Yanda. Matt Skura is still playing well for the offensive line, too. I don't like Kevin Zeitler that much. I think he's overrated. I think he had a bad week last week. That was when they had Orlando Brown and Roddy Stanley on the same offensive line. They also had that tight end Hydra of Boyle, Hurst.
I love Hydra.
And Mark Andrews. You know, Hurst is in Atlanta. Boyle's on the injured reserve. And then Patrick Ricard as well, fullback. And so this isn't the same, you know, rushing attack that was 3 years ago, but they're still relying on that rushing attack to be as good as it was then. And it just, they don't have the same level of blocking talent that they used to have. And so now, like, the pressure's on Jackson to step up and be a better quarterback, you know, more consistently in the entire structure of the offense and be able to attack the entirety of the field. He can't do it. He hasn't done it yet, you know?
But yeah,
like,
no,
it's still the same Lamar as last year.
I just had to still throw out a Hail Hydra. I just have to do that for all the Marvel fans out there. Yeah!
For all the people who still live with your parents. Yeah!
Yeah, woo!
All of you emotionally stunned individuals. Yeah!
Yeah, that's what we're talking about! But yes, Matt, Lamar looks the same. I'm just...
And he's electric, and he's an incredible playmaker, but it's still like play to play to play. He just hasn't hit that spot yet, you know?
I'll put it to you this way. For me, I would expect to watch after last week that going into this season, I would think that Lamar would be a little bit better than Dak. And after last week, I don't think it's close. And that's where it's a little bit disappointing because Lamar is still not taking that extra step. Maybe I'm wrong. First week, overreactions, whatever. Lamar he's been disappointing for me. And it hurts.
Yeah, I think the disappointing thing is because, like, we know it's there. And like we talked about in the preseason, like, he's such a good quick passer as well, too. You know, and he's a really good middle of the field passer. And that part of his game is still, he hasn't been able to find it yet. And so that's kind of like the frustrating thing with them. Last week, Darren Waller, 10 catches for 19 targets, 105 yards, a touchdown. He dropped probably like four of those targets as well, too, that weren't completions.
Yep.
This week, Travis Kelce, 6 for 7, 76 yards, 2 touchdowns. How many receiving yards do you think Kelce has this week?
Kelce, when it comes to the Baltimore Ravens and that defense, okay, since we're talking about him, before I answer Kelce, okay, no, let me answer Kelce first. I'm going to say 105, 8 catches, 1 TD. But I have a question for you, Matt. I have a big question here. I want you to answer honestly, but first think about it for 3 seconds. Is Tyreek Hill the best receiver in the league?
The best in the league?
Best in the league.
He's the best deep threat I've ever seen in my entire life.
For me, he is numero uno until I see otherwise. And it's because, kind of like how we joked about with Keenan Allen and Herbert the Sherbert, I'm not sure if Hill has any type of route running, or if him and Mahomes just have some type of understanding where Hill's just going to go open and Mahomes just better find him. And Hill,
both of them are like that too. Like Kelce said that as well. He's like, yeah, sometimes I line up and I give Patrick this crazy look. He just knows what I'm going to do.
And that's where it seems like he has it with both of them, where it truly is disgusting to watch, but also makes it so much fun. Hill, for me, truly is the best wide receiver. Matt, he shouldn't be this good for how big he is, but yet he manhandles guys. He's able to get wide open where the moment that he has 5 yards of space, it's done. It's done. He's going to score.
Well,
we're done.
And like we talked about last year, that touchdown was against John Johnson where he runs that post route and he gets 1 for 1 against the safety and he loses the ball in the air and it's a 79-yard touchdown. And yeah, I think 179 yards receiving last week. Also, I think I looked up the numbers real fast. The Ravens on third down last week, 3 for 12. And that was really the problem. Like, their run game's not the same. They're getting a third down. So they had a lot of pressure off the edges. And Lamar's throwing, you know, incompletions scattering all over the field, you know?
Yeah, and that's not going to be – and that's kind of the thing. Once again, we're wanting to have a good game on a Sunday night here, but I just think it's going to be a slaughterhouse because Kansas City is not going to let up. And I think there's going to be a message that's going to be sent because everybody wants to be able to compare the Lamar and Patrick Mahomes, and I think Patrick Mahomes is just going to run it up. And Lamar's not going to be able to keep up because
well, and Lamar doesn't want that either. He already said this game's not about me versus Mahomes.
By the way, the moment you tell me that is the moment I'm already disgusted with you because it seems like that you're making up the excuses saying, no. This is a team thing. This isn't a me thing. Team. If we lose, it's team's fault. Not my fault. Team's fault.
Yeah. Last year, Kansas City crushed them. And one of the ways they crushed them is they took their typical route, so they would turn a route into a corner. They would take a slant, like a slant route, and it turned into a sluggo. They would run like a lot of dino stems, and they because like the Ravens cornerbacks and secondary is really good at understanding, you know, the way a route looks and jumping on routes and understanding, you know, how route concepts, you know, pair together. And so they see this guy run this, they expect their guy to run that, and that sort of thing. And the Chiefs over and over again kind of beat them by camouflaging what they were doing and taking off downfield with it. And then on Marcus Peters as well too. They've lost so many guys in their front seven over the years that like Patrick Queen was awesome last week. But it seems like there may be a level of brain drain here on their defensive front where they just don't really lack to impact pass rusher right now, you know?
Well, and that's kind of the thing with the Ravens is that we're not seeing the classic defense where they're able to take those shots that they usually make, meaning being able to rush the passer.
Like blitz six, like they typically do.
Being able to have the corners, a.k.a. Marcus Peters out there, so that you can trust where if there's a pass thrown, Marcus Peters is either going to intercept it, deflect it, or defend the guy very well. But now you can't do the same type of defense, and I don't think it's going to be able to work. I just think they need to play something safer. I just don't think Baltimore is ever going to be
that. And they don't really have the front four rush, like from a talent standpoint right now. Like, I love Calais, but he's a little older. I like Matt Bouquet, but he hasn't shown like the ability to be like a consistent disruptor over his entire season. They drafted Owe in the first round. He's like an athletic guy. And they don't really, and like they have on the other edge, they have Pernell McPhee. You know, he had a sack last week. And that sort of thing too, but they're just they feel like they've lost a lot of talent in their front seven, and they're always able to find late round guys, and it kind of tends to work out. But there's only so long it goes on for, and sometimes you have some gap years where you can't pick up exactly where you left off. Also, without Ronnie Stanley here, Chris Jones lined up a defensive end last week and had a ridiculous sack against Jack Conklin, blowing off the ball. He had a sack on the interior too. He was you know, the best player in Kansas City's defense last week. I think he's going to have a really great week again, too, against Baltimore. Like, I don't love Baltimore's offensive line anymore either. And there's a lot of cracks here, like you mentioned, from that point of it. So I think this is going to be a bad game for Baltimore. I'm going Kansas City 34, Baltimore 20.
Before I answer, I got to ask you this, Matt. Who would you rather have on your team, Kelce or Hill?
Kelce or Hill?
Yeah.
I'd say Hill because even if Hill isn't open, he gets other people open. Like, even like when Hill has a 54-yard game, he was still an impact player.
It's unfair. And I don't know what makes him unfair because I think Patrick Mahomes is that great. But I think Kelce and Hill are just like, it's disgusting. You know what this team is going to do, and they're just going to keep doing it because you can't stop. Hill is wide open still. How is Hill? How is Kelce wide open still? It makes no sense.
I still can't believe Cleveland last week lead for the entire game until 6.5 minutes in the fourth quarter. They get that touchdown, and their punter fumbles the punt. And then Baker throws the interception.
We got some Rounders fans out there. It just reminded me of, like, the Russian mobster just hanging around whenever he's just throwing money in the pot with the chips and the poker. That's all the Kansas City Chiefs were doing is just hanging around the entire game.
Yeah, they're never out.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter.
And the moment that it's just a one score and you make that mistake, Kansas City is then going to jump on it.
And they really struggled to get off the field on third down too. And what was the most frustrating there about last week was that, like, in theory, that's the team to beat the Chiefs. They yes. run the ball. Yes. They control yes. the clock. They destroy yes. their front seven. They have a great pass rush, and it still doesn't
all
matter.
You have to do is not screw it up.
Because the punter drops the punt, and Hill has an 80-yard touchdown, and Baker throws the interception.
Just stop screwing it up. Just don't make the mistakes. Play safe. And you have this. You have the two best running backs that would be able to destroy their defense.
I love their fourth down play calls,
easy
too.
For me.
They were so good last week in that.
Oh, yes. Matt, do you understand that the moment that they came out there, I go, man, it's going to be hard to beat Kansas City. Boom, down the field, 6 points. I'm like, yeah, that's still just a good score. Going for two. What?
Yeah, because they had the offsides on the extra yeah. points. They were 1 yard out. I was like, oh, Hunt can jump over them.
Oh, Kareem Hunt going for two. What? Oh, they get it. 8-0. Ooh, that's how you beat Kansas City. Oh. Now we're talking. And then they make those mistakes. It hurts me. And I just don't think Baltimore is going to be able to keep up with Kansas City to be able to make this a game.
Yeah, so I don't think they're going to make the playoffs now.
Yes.
Like, you know, you mentioned earlier, what can you take back? I would take Baltimore back. And I think I would probably put Miami in there instead.
Ooh.
Just because the East, you can pick on some teams there, and they're already one game up on New England. And they're not letting Mac Jones like really run like a full offense, you know. They really have the safety bra on him. The training bra, I should say.
And just cut it. Just let him be free. Yeah. Let him. That's all you have
to do. Let those nuts hang some.
That's why I got him.
So what's your pick for this one?
So I have the Kansas City Chiefs 38, and I have the Baltimore Ravens 28.
I like it. So we're the same, except I got the Texans beating the Browns this week.
Oh, my God. You have the Texans winning. You have them winning by 7.
Yes.
By the way, we're talking about how great Cleveland is, and yet you're still picking the Texans.
Look, there's nothing logic about the heart. The heart wants. The heart feels it. You can't believe in us. Nobody's believing us, but I believe.
There's dust on
that
shirt.
I believe in David Culley.
I can see dust on that shirt, man.
It's probably baby spit up, not dust.
Whatever, it's dust.
So our next segment here, as we end today's show, underground pick of the week. I'm going the Bengals +3 on the road against the Chicago Bears.
All right, hold on. So my underdog, I actually have a good one for you, Matt. I have it at Detroit over Green Bay because I think it's a 10.5 point.
Yeah, it's 10.5.
I'm going to say Detroit's going to be able to cover. They're my underdog
of the
week.
They may late cover that game, too.
That's what I'm hoping for. So that's what I got. I got the Detroit.
That'd be a fun game to gamble on.
See,
because you watch the whole game and pray that DeAndre Swift gets a late touchdown.
I have nothing to go for this week. Even my for sure pick, I'm still questionable on. It's just that's my fun one for sure because I think Detroit's got a chance.
I love it. I was looking at that one too a little bit, you know, but I haven't watched Detroit yet. I'm going to watch them probably tomorrow sometimes. So my lock of the week, I'm going the 49ers -3.5 against the Philadelphia Eagles.
That's not a bad one, even because, yeah, I think that people think that Philly's a little bit better than what they are, even though we'll probably find out.
We're going to find out a lot this week. We find out a lot every week.
Okay, well, this is a lot of, like, good teams that won where you thought they were going to be bad going up against good teams that you expected to be good. So that you're going to be able to have a little bit of a mixture. For me, my lock of the week, because I think that this team is garbage, I got Arizona, 4-point favorite against Minnesota. I think they're easily going to be able to dominate that. They're at home. I see another Chandler Jones 5-sack game against Kirk Cousins. I just don't think Minnesota's going to be that good this year.
Yeah, I haven't watched that game yet either, but I'm interested to see what happened in it.
That's my lock this week. But I do love my Detroit because they're going to cover that. And I'm going to love it because Aaron Rodgers is going to come out just thinking, oh, yeah, that was just week one. I'm going to love it. Oh, yeah, that was just week two. You know what? You're a douchebag with your ponytail. Go away. You look gross.
Yeah, he's an Austin, Texas barista.
God, it's so bad. That guy cuts my hair on the weekends.
Yeah. So to recap, I have Houston, -12.5. You have Cleveland, -12.5. We both have Kansas City over Baltimore. We both have Seattle over Tennessee, and we both have the Chargers against the Cowboys. My upset pick is Cincinnati. You have Detroit, and our locks are San Francisco, and you have the Cardinals. I like it, though. Last week was a lot of fun. I forgot how good football is.
Dude, I missed it so much. I've never believed how much I could miss football. It was nice to see every game. Because even the highlights, it's just cool to see all the teams where, once again, you're expecting teams to be bad and then they turn out to be good. And then the teams you expect to be good turn out to be bad. It's a lot of drama. I just love the reality TV nonsense that I get out of it. It makes me feel fulfilled.
Yeah, it was nice because you last year when I watched football, I'd be really hungover on Sunday. I'd be like, ugh, you know.
By the way, watching football sober is really
it's
nice.
Awesome. Yeah, and yes. So Sunday I just laid on. I figured out how to hang a TV up, and so I had the TV hung up, and I lay there in the bed with the baby on my chest. And I was like, this is really nice. This is so much better than wanting to die from staying up till 4 o'clock drinking 27 beers. This is a much better way to live. And then and the fantasy thing this week was so good. So I know nobody cares about your fantasy team, but I lost by 0.6 points. Today I got a stat correction for 1 point, meaning I won by 0.4 points, which was the only good thing that's ever happened to me in this stupid league we play in.
All I know is that Sam helped us out, so we got to give that shout out. But also, we're 1-0 each. This is happening this year. Screw them. We're going to win. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. So until next time, I'm Matt Weston. Thank you for listening to Ballard Radio. We'll be back on next Sunday to talk about the Texans' win over the Cleveland Browns. And then, of course, we'll be back the week after to preview, you know, week two. And hopefully we get this Dan Coaches film so I can write some things I want to write about the Super Bowl caliber Houston Texans.
Oh, my God. I'm going to puke.
That sounded good to me.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
That was pretty good. You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope. Because
I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.